The views and opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of WEFT-FM, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. And now here is this week's edition of IMC Radio News.
Why do we produce the IMC Radio News?
Because the chasm isn't left to right. It's top to bottom.
To give voice to people who aren't heard.
To bust up the myth of objective journalism.
Bill O'Reilly does not have a monopoly on the truth.
To build our community and re-educate the public.
To revive the voice of organized labor.
To bring forth debate so as to animate democracy.
Because I want to agitate for revolution.
Listen to the voices of your community on IMC Radio News.
This week on IMC Radio News, another installment of the Good to Know series with the co-director of the East Central Illinois Refugee Center and a report back from the recent demonstrations in Sacramento against biotech and the World Trade Organization. Stay tuned.
About 45 minutes before the dawn of time, I crawled out of the primordial slime. I grew our scales, grew out our legs, hatched our cells from the dinosaur eggs. Living large like a stegosaur, didn't see the meteor. Mammals meant something that T-Rex ate, grew thumbs in a bipedal gait. Went home, oh, habitless, and man of the stone toes, made the other animals look like stone fools. Manifest destiny was our fate, so we all shacked up in a city state. World was ready for Jesus Christ, when he come everybody said, Jesus Christ. Middle Ages showed it by lets you count the invention of movable type. Well, everybody's sick and tired of waiting for the Renaissance so they can start painting. Industrial Revolution caused industrial pollution. Marx tried to set them workers free while Europe downsized its monarchy. Like Archduke Ferdinand started the Great War. I ain't never seen so much gore. War to end all wars, guess that's true. Lesson you count Hitler in World War II. Hey, bomb the Japs, make the next war cold. I hated the Russians like I was told. Hippies tried to change the world, but they were way too stoned and are just like girls. Welcome to the information age. This song's got its own webpage.
In the second installment of the Good to Know series, which focuses on local people working to build community, IMC reporter An Dinh Gross talks to Ha Ho, a Vietnamese woman working to help immigrants and refugees from across the world find a home in East Central Illinois.
Good to Know, a series of conversations with diverse members of the Champaign-Urbana community who work to build community. Ha Ho is the co-director of the East Central Illinois Refugee Mutual Assistance Center, also known as ECIRMAC, or just the East Central Illinois Refugee Center. Ha Ho also teaches French at King's School. She's the family coordinator for Washington Early Childhood Program, and she's a family resource person and translator interpreter for the Champaign School District. Welcome, Ha.
Welcome. Thank you very much for having me today.
It's a pleasure. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the East Central Illinois Refugee Center and what you do there?
Mm-hmm. Our center is very small, and the founder of this center, who is Quyết Nguyễn, was the one who started it all. And I think that I owe all the credits to her. And we have been operating for over two decades now. I think we're getting known more and more every year. It is located inside the new Unitarian Universalist Church at the corner of Green and Birch at 302 South Birch in Urbana. We are the only agency downstate Illinois to serve the refugee immigrants population. We help them, you know, to resettle in this community.
And these refugees are not just from Vietnam,
they're from other
places as well.
At the very beginning, we were serving mostly Southeast Asians. Mm-hmm. If you do recall, you know, the boat people incident that lasted quite many years. We included at that time, you know, refugees from Vietnam, from Laos, from Cambodia. then we welcomed refugees from Russia and from Bosnia, from Nicaragua, from Ecuador, and from Africa, Liberia, and just recently Congolese from Kinshasa. And most of them are political asylees, already political asylees or political asylees to be or political asylees pending.
And do these people have green cards or permission to be in this country?
To be honest, some of them do, some of them don't. Mm-hmm. But we are not here to judge, you know. We are not representing immigration. Mm-hmm. We understand that immigration has some requirements. And when a client comes to us, we are here to give him some resources, some guidelines, and to assist him or her or the entire family the best way we can.
If people in the Champaign-Urbana community wanted to help the East Central Illinois Refugee Center, how would they do that?
Oh, we are in need of volunteers, especially on the Saturday morning. The Refugee Center runs what we call the Saturday morning program. We're assisting refugee children as well as immigrant children. With academic skills, try to make them feel better than themselves, to understand the system, to mingle, to learn about other cultures, and also to do different activities that are offered in the community. But because of the language barrier, the families do not have access to these facilities or don't even know that these facilities exist.
I want to talk, Haho, with the experience of Vietnamese people in Champaign-Urbana, but first let's review a little history. American involvement in the Vietnam War ended in 1975 when Communist North Vietnam completed its takeover of South Vietnam. Following that period, many Vietnamese people made treacherous journeys by boat trying to reach places like the Philippines, Malaysia, Hong Kong, and Thailand. They were known as boat people. These boats were not able to take many of their belongings, and many of the boats were not sturdy enough for the amount of people or the length of the journey. In addition, pirates attacked these boats, robbing and even killing the refugees. Those lucky enough to survive these trips were then placed into refugee camps. Sponsoring countries then resettled the Vietnamese people. The first wave of immigrants came to the United States in the late 1970s and 1980s. And many were sponsored and resettled all over the United States. And Vietnamese themselves formed communities in such places as Long Beach, California, Northern California, Arlington, Virginia, and Chicago, to name a few. What brought Vietnamese people to Champaign-Urbana?
Well, it's a long story because it goes back to the time when there were a few families who went to the University of Illinois to start with, and who had family members kept in the camps in Guam and so on and so forth. So I think the first group that ever came to Champaign-Urbana were scholars who attended the University of Illinois. Churches who sponsored boat people who were in the camps started to be interested and for humanitarian reasons volunteered and signed up, you know, to bring some Vietnamese families to this area. And this is how it all started. And also when in 1981, I believe, or 80, the Refugee Act was voted, refugees that relocated to United States were given benefits.
What are some distinctive Vietnamese cultural traditions? And what I mean is, some of the things that we think of as distinctive, maybe different from American values.
Well, there's a lot to share. But our language, for sure, our food, the way we dress on special occasions, like ladies would wear what we call the áo dài, which is a long gown, a long dress, very stylish, very feminine. Our beliefs, some of us are Christian, most of us are Buddhist, and it means that we do believe in the life after death. We also have an altar at home, like a shrine, and on that altar or shrine, we put pictures of deceased members. You know, it cannot go for more than three generations because, you know, it's very difficult to have pictures of all the deceased members. But this is done so that our children remember that they once had grandparents, great-grandparents, you know, in order to keep up with the tradition, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is something that it's very dear to us. Yeah.
Vietnamese people are known to have revitalized neighborhoods and started new businesses at a very high rate. In Champaign-Urbana, it seems in the last 5 years or so, Vietnamese people have opened many nail salons. Also, there is a Vietnamese restaurant called Pho Tron.
Yes.
Are there any other businesses or establishments in which many Vietnamese people work?
There's also the Far East grocery store, mm-hmm. and the Asia Mart grocery store.
When you stop and think about the experiences of Vietnamese families, including many who might have suffered torture or imprisonment, refugee camps, and being displaced from their country, language, families, and culture, there could be any number of physical and psychological ailments impacting this community. What are the biggest hardships new immigrants to our community face?
Well, I think that being overwhelmed, mm-hmm. you know, the system, people here consume a lot. In order to buy what you need money. Okay, refugees are entitled to benefits from public aid, but it's just temporary benefits. And it will help, you know, the family temporarily to fulfill, you know, the basic needs only. And the language, mm-hmm. not knowing how to express oneself, wanting to succeed and be part of this country that we would call a home, second home away from home.
Do many Vietnamese people have the dream of returning to Vietnam, or are they happy to be in this country?
The senior citizens, to be honest, do feel lonely here mm-hmm. because the children, the grandchildren, are always gone. Okay? But it is our duty to care for our elderly members. Therefore, it's hard to leave them back home. But, you know, the irony is they would be better off at home, you know, within, you know, their own environment, speaking the language, even the weather. But we can't because we are our responsibility. So for some families, it works. For some families, it doesn't work as well.
Mm-hmm. The children of these families quickly become bicultural. What are some concerns parents have about how their children adjust to America?
I think it's been the subject of many conversations, I recall, and even with my own family. Parents don't progress as fast. Parents have a difficulty to learn the language. Children go to school. They feel, you know, at ease with their classmates. Very quick, you know, the home language is not spoken anymore. It's English only. Then we have a generation gap. And, you know, I have to admit we have had some issues, some problems. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is always remind the parents that speaking the native language at home is okay.
Yes.
I do the same with my children.
Of course.
English is outside of the home, and at home it's Vietnamese only. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it is so important, It's because we have different ways of addressing, you know, to the parents, to the younger sister, older brother, even to the spouse, you know. Parents, you know, from the paternal side or maternal side, we have different, you know, greetings. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's been interesting to watch the way Vietnamese and American customs have interacted in the last 25 years. Some things have changed and some have remained the same. For example, I've noticed that names have changed. It looked like Vietnamese start with the family name, or what we call last name, then middle name, and then what we would call first name. Mm-hmm. But now it looks like Vietnamese have shifted this to more resemble the way Americans do it. Is that right?
It is. In fact, you know, we have a newsletter at the refugee center, which is sent out to the families. It's printed in four languages. And we tend to put, you know, the first name first and last name after. And we have a section when we congratulate people if they have birth or weddings, you know, or if they have graduated, if we want to send sympathy messages. I was told that it would be better to print the name of the families, you know, the traditional way. If not, it's a little confusing at times.
Yes.
Yes.
Please comment on eye contact. Americans always think that direct eye contact is appropriate, but Vietnamese treat eye contact differently, right?
Yes, you're right. In fact, you know, when you're dealing with younger children, making eye contact will be looking as being very disrespectful, mm-hmm. because authority, especially the father's authority, if we were in a traditional environment, and I would say that, you know, in most of the homes, the eye contact is not, you know, permitted. But over here, it bothers people that, you know, the person you're talking to you is trying to avoid you. But in fact, he or she isn't doing that. It's out of respect.
I see.
But I find myself, you know, asking the child I'm talking to or my student, please look at me, I'm talking to you.
So and you become Americanized.
Yes, yes. And I think in some way it's more meaningful.
It was such a pleasure to interview you, Ha Ho. I see you working tirelessly to help your community, and it is such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you so much for having me today.
Ha Ho, a wife and mother of three, is a person of generosity, wisdom, and commitment. Ha Ho builds community and is good to know. For IMC Radio News, this is Andine Gross.
When I think about my refugee families, I could include, you know, the immigrants, the asylees, the refugees, even those who are remaining here beyond, you know, the validity of their visa. Basically, we're all human beings and we have the same needs. The only difference is the language we speak. And for those people, because we cannot express their wishes, we're here to help them out.
June 20th through 25th witnessed a wide array of festive streetside activism in Sacramento, California. The target, a meeting of representatives from U.S. agribusiness interests, agricultural researchers from the University of California at Davis, and World Trade Organization ministers from 50 nations around the globe. Nonviolent protesters were there to voice opposition to genetically modified foods and to the pervasive power of the corporations doing the engineering and marketing of biotech products. The thousands of assembled activists endured hot days on the streets, along with brutal tactics and spurious arrests by a Sacramento police force suited up in stormtrooper riot gear. The indie media movement was there, of course, with representatives from Portland, San Francisco, and apparently, Saturn. Local IMC correspondent Paul Kotheimer spoke on Wednesday with members of the Sacramento Audio Collective, who were covering the week of direct action with a 24-hour live web radio broadcast. Here's some of their conversation.
So I'm talking with Josh and Jesse. Tell me, what towns are you from? Are you from Sacramento or from elsewhere?
We're from elsewhere.
Yes.
Where elsewhere?
Elsewhere undisclosed. But we are,
elsewhere.
We're media activists from, but not from Sacramento.
Media activists from planet Earth?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Well, okay, I'm really from Saturn.
Okay. Yes. Is there a name to the affinity group you belong to?
Yes, we're calling this is the Sacramento Audio Collective.
All right. So my first question is, of the government ministers and corporate representatives that are now assembled in Sacramento, who is there? Like, what groups, what interest groups are represented in this round of cocktail parties?
Well, I don't know in particular which ones are here. I know that it's at least from 50 countries, but a lot of countries declined.
So, and then on the other side, then, who's been out in the street this week? Can you mention the names of some activist groups or concerned citizen groups who are assembled there in California's capital?
A lot of the those who came down were acting as a larger group, generally known as the Sacramento Mobilization for Food Sovereignty, Democracy, and Justice.
And that would include people who would be coming in from anywhere to spend some time in Sacramento this week as part of this Sacramento mobilization.
Absolutely.
The latest news is that the WTO is suing the European Union for its failure to accept genetically modified foods. Do you know, is this one of the agenda items amongst the bigwigs this week?
We're not sure about that. We've heard that story as well, and also should be noted that of the representatives that came, the European Union was not represented. Along with many other countries, they did not send any representatives to this event. This seems to be mainly a U.S. And biotech industry-led event here.
More like probably a backdoor arm-twisting session with the smaller countries.
Uh-huh. But just to clarify, the European Union is not there?
That's what we understand.
That's very interesting. Okay, to move on, I have a postcard here that was put out by www.sacmobilization.org. It promises, quote, a festival of diverse resistance, unquote. Can you tell us about some of the new and creative direct action strategies you're witnessing on the streets this week?
In an area called the Community Garden, which has been an area where the community has generally grown crops there and grown food there together, and there's a lot of fruit trees there, a lot of cultivated plants. There was a sort of a teach-in there. There were people out there planting. There were people out there teaching people how to plant. There were also people out there doing actions when surrounded by police. They were chaining, locking arms together around trees, things like that. So definitely a really good combination of general education and visible direct actions.
Wow. Any other examples?
Also the mud people were here. That's a sort of a new tactic.
What are the mud people?
The Mud Brigade are a group of people who want to get back in touch with the earth. That's their vision. Their tactic is to get naked and cover themselves in mud and march in that way.
Sounds pretty sexy. On the Biotech IMC website, I frequently saw the term unarrest being used. What's an unarrest? Could you describe that one to me?
One person is surrounded or put into a situation where they could be about to be arrested, but another group shows solidarity and moves in such a way that they remove that person from that situation. Either a legal liaison might be involved in an unarrest, or just a solidarity group saying, let them go, that kind of thing.
Wow, so it seems like it's been happening quite a lot this week, that a group of people who are protesting on the street are paying enough attention to police activity and police interaction, and the whole group is paying enough attention that they can move in such a way that the police can't take an individual away. Is that's what's going on?
That is correct, and definitely in some cases.
Uh-huh. Well, since we're on the subject, let's talk about urban warfare for a minute or two. The police, from what I've read, have been using chemical weapons, brutality tactics, and various kinds of techno-psychological warfare against assembled activists this week. What sorts of torture devices and weapons are California taxpayers financing so that your rights can be violated by these so-called peace officers?
Well, one of the newest ones are tasers or stun guns. And a stun gun is a small yellow, it's pistol-shaped, looks like a toy gun, and it shoots out a small electrode attached to a wire that attaches to someone and delivers a charge of I believe, 50,000 volts.
50,000 volts?
Yes, and the effect of that is, we had one person who was hit with a taser in here, a pretty big, large guy, was hit in the back, it knocked him on the ground, and he twitched. And it was extremely painful.
That's really sad. Geez. Wow, let's talk about something lighter than that. In your webcast and on the breaking news page of your site, a lot of talk focuses on the Welcome Center. What's the Welcome Center? What's it like there? What happens? Who's in charge?
There is a group in charge, which would be the collective of people who are SAC mobilization, who you might be familiar with from the SACmobilization.org website. But just as the structure of indie media and other groups like this, activist groups, have now a collective structure, so does the administration of the Welcome Center. The main function of the Welcome Center is a point at which people coming to town can be directed towards which actions may be occurring, and also to give them access to legal help and give them access to transportation information. The other thing that happens at the Welcome Center is the internet press side of indie media. The only part of the IMC that didn't operate inside of the media space because of technological reasons and other things is the radio.
You're in a hardened bunker in an undisclosed location?
Yes, mainly because of technical reasons.
Have any attempts been made by the powers that be or the police against your signal?
Not that we've witnessed or noticed.
That's good news.
But we did get several, you know, crank phone calls that were attempting to disrupt the use of the reporting line.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that one? The thing that I read was that people who were answering the telephone for legal assistance were receiving what they thought were spurious calls from maybe the police department. Is that what's going on?
Well, one of the tactics did seem to be to, especially with the reporting line, to call and report the need for legal assistance or the need for medics or reporters at certain locations, and to do this fairly often and in such a way as to make it difficult to ascertain the validity of it and so scatter the resources.
But there's no direct confirmation of that we particularly know about.
Gotcha. Well, anyway, of the moments when you two guys were personally out there on the streets, when did you feel the most elated or powerful or in solidarity with those around you? What moment are you going to take home as like your favorite community feeling moment from this action?
Probably the biggest highlight was just a half hour ago, 45 minutes ago, when we heard the end of the protest at the tail end of the protest at Monsanto, and the people really feeling a sense of victory, because as far as I can see, with all the police harassment, with all the tactics that have been used, this is definitely a victory for people who are against GMOs and against the WTO.
With special thanks to Josh and Jesse of the Sacramento Audio Collective, for the IMC Radio News, this is Paul Kotheimer.
Gosh, all our foods have been deep fried and genetically modified, and everything we ever ate had monosodium glutamate inside. Our beef cows eat their own feces.
Yuck.
And give us all mad cow disease. The milk we feed our kids our own is laced with bovine growth hormone. Oh no. The corn and...
That wraps up IMC Radio News for this week. Contributors to this program included Andine Gross and Paul Kotheimer, whose Serious Folking Music CD, available at the IMC, provides the soundtrack for our outro. The coordination of the UCIMC Radio News is funded by the Funding Exchange's Paul Robeson Fund for Independent Media. If you'd like to get involved with this show, drop us a line at radio@ucimc.org or call 344-8820 extension 1. No experience is necessary. Archives of this program are available at the IMC website, www.ucimc.org. Financial contributions are also welcome. You can send those checks to the UCIMC at 218 West Main Street, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. Take care, and we'll see you next week.
So that is why we sing to thee our Frankenfoodtoxology. Let's organize and not retreat. But first let's have a bite to eat. Bon.